Armin, today on the stage, you were talking about cognizant leadership.
Right.
Can you define a bit for us what is cognizant leadership?
Cognizant leadership means that leaders are aware of the context in which they lead, and they are aware about how they lead, and are aware about the nature of the relationship they have to their people. So it's about being aware, or some would also say mindful. And I don't think of mindfulness or cognizance as a kind of Asian philosophy or something like this. It's simply at the point, very practically spoken, if you ask a manager, how do you lead? Does he or she have an answer? Mm. And if you don't, you have not thought about it probably. There is nothing wrong with, let's say, some leadership techniques. I mean, these are things that are taught in various seminars, and you can read in certain books. I mean, when you think of how to run a job interview, the do's and don'ts of a job interview from the perspective of a leader, or things like time management or how to prepare and run meetings, that's fine. These are techniques. You can learn those techniques, but it goes a little bit beyond that. It's really about how you see yourself in total, yeah? Your primary role and how you create the relationship to your people. So that's true. There is a lot of things out there. There are millions of books and seminars, yeah, and things, and I would not say they are all wrong and what I came up with is right. The difference in what I say is, as a leader, don't sit at your chair and ask for somebody to tell you what to do. If you can't reflect on yourself, who you are, in which context you act, you're never going to be a good leader. And you must struggle with yourself. You must reflect on yourself. And that might be a constant battle, and that's not easy. But you have to do it. If you can't do it, you won't succeed. So that's the difference in what I say. The German title of my book on this topic, there will be an English book translation, of course, with the title Cognizant Leadership, but the German has the title Das richtige Führungsverständnis. It's translated like the right leadership idea. Everybody asks me, what is right? And I say, I don't know. But, you know, you write a book with a title, The Right Leadership Idea, but you don't tell us what is right. I said, no, but I can give a frame on how you yourself are going to find out what right might be in your case.
Why now cognizant leadership is the topic that you are talking about? Do you think the business society has matured in all the changes and the progress that we have done? Or is there any other reason?
Well, there are multiple things. First, of course, the working reality has changed, yeah, to some extent. I mean, we have much more uncertainty, we have much more teamwork, much more, and all the things. But, you know, the reason why I wrote that thing is not so much because it was time to write the book, to say this in the first place. I come from an HR background, and I dealt a lot with different HR topics. I wrote a book some years ago about, the title was The End of Performance Appraisal. Yeah,
and you know,
you know that one? I mean, performance appraisal is a leadership tool. And I really believe that you cannot understand HR and you cannot create HR when you do not think about leadership and organization. In everything that we do in HR, whether it's the compensation system, talent management, learning, performance appraisal, in everything we do, the kind of leadership idea is mirrored in it, you know? So, and I've seen this with a lot of colleagues also, Dave Ulrich to mention one. They all start with HR and end up with leadership. And that's the same with me. So it's not so much because now it's the time to write it. It's probably more because the topic came to me in my life now, and that's why I did it.
Okay. Thank you very much for sharing.
Yeah.
So if we unpack those three components that you've mentioned, the first one was knowing leadership context. Yeah. Right. So can you explain that a bit?
Different leaders find themselves in very different worlds, so to speak. It's a difference whether you lead a team of scientists working on crazy stuff, not knowing the outcome, or whether you lead a team of, let's say, bus drivers. Everybody understands this, that leadership realities, we could also put it that way, differ. But the question is, how do these contexts differ? And they differ in terms of various dimensions. Yeah. I mean, think of, have you a big span of control? Do you need many people or just a few? Do they sit all together or are they remote? Are your employees, are they superior in what they know compared to yourself or not? Is it that performance is a sum of the individual contribution, or is it a system? So managers need help also on this to understand how they can describe their context. They need a framework. So that's the first thing. So in terms of cognizant leadership, if I would ask a leader, describe the setting in which you lead, yeah, there must come an answer.
How about then the leaders who switch businesses, areas?
Yeah.
The context changes radically.
Absolutely. And sometimes you even have multiple contexts. And I think of myself, I'm a dean. I lead academic stuff, a bunch of crazy professors, not easy to lead professors. And then I have an administrative part. These are two different worlds. And I have to lead them differently and I have to understand this. And of course, context can change, yeah.
So you don't think it's an obstacle for someone to, or, you know, just that it takes you back a bit if you're changing context and let's say you don't realize that
It could be. I've seen many managers who struggled with a new context. I mean, if you're used to be a boss, I give guidance, I make the decisions, and now you find yourself in a very uncertain, dynamic context, you might not continue with your previous role because it simply does not work. So you have to change. Can you do this? That's the next question. I mean, and does that fit to your personality? Managers do very hard in changing their leadership idea.
So we've talked about knowing leadership context,
yeah.
Right? The next one was clear idea of leadership.
Clear idea, yeah. Describe how you lead. What is your primary role? And I describe these four roles, boss, coach, give responsibility to the people. Or partner, sharing responsibility, or enable, or shape an environment that supports people, maybe being a mentor, trainer, or something like this. Be clear about which role you want to play primarily. In the end, you always have a mixture.
Yes.
That's clear. But you have to have your default setting. That's how I put it.
There are also, you know, just those dichotomies that, usually people say boss is bad, coach is good, or something like that. So I find it very enlightening that you are saying you need to be everything.
You need to be everything, but you have to have a primary role because people want to know how you act. I mean, we talk about social systems here. Social systems work when everybody knows his or her role. It's like in sports. You have to rely on the role of the others in a team, football team maybe.
Do you think there are, at certain periods of time or in history or in development, there are certain types of management which are prevailing or more popular or more suitable?
There are leadership roles who are more popular than others. And today I very often hear bosses are bad and coaches are good. Oh, that's wrong. I would never, ever subscribe this. And there are settings where you need bosses, really. Yep. Everything else would be absolutely dysfunctional.
Do you have any examples?
Yeah, in the presentation I talked about doing a surgery, for instance. In those settings where you have much time pressure, where the leader is maybe or probably the one who has the most knowledge about something, in those cases, very often, bosses are not the worst thing. right? But time pressure is one of the key things who really determine boss roles.
Okay, so we've covered leadership context,
yeah.
And we've covered clear idea of leadership,
right,
between four main roles, yeah, which you described. Then we have communicate and act.
Yeah.
What is behind that?
As I said, leadership is not just about the leader, him or herself. It's about the relation between the leader and the one he or she leads. And in any kind of relation like this that is supposed to function, mutual expectations should be clear. And what we do as leaders and human beings overall is very often we overestimate what other people know. Yeah? We might think, well, they are aware of how I lead, or they know my leadership style. No, they don't. You cannot assume that your people know everything. You have to talk. And the most simplest idea of communicating your leadership idea is to act upon it first. But you also can do simple things like, as a manager, you stand in front of your team and say, hey, guys, I know in the last few years you were used to a manager who acted like a boss. That's over. I will be a partner. Why? Because of da-da-da-da-da. So don't be surprised. The next time when you ask me a question, I will say, okay, let's sit together. Don't be surprised. That's my style and that's the reason why we do it. Okay?
Fair enough.
So, good. And then the people will be surprised. Oh, really? Oh, and then you will do it and they will be again surprised and they will push you into a boss role. What should I do? Is that okay with you? I say, let's sit together. And you always sit 1,000 times. I say, let's sit together. You act on it. That's the best way of communicating. And that can take years. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So must be consistent in how you want to lead. You can see this all the time. I mean, you know, as a manager, when people are used to bosses, and there are more people who are used to bosses than you believe. They are used to questions like, is that okay? What should I do? And you get, as a manager, you get these questions all the time. And when you start acting like a coach, saying, okay, what do you propose? What would you say? It takes months, maybe years, to make clear that this is not the way how you want to lead.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But just answering the question, what should I do? Or is that okay? No.
But this communicating, the situation that you described, it also takes away the pressure, because sometimes when there are managers in transition or new managers, they say that they come across the situation that people just say, you know, just I expected a different manager, or I'm used to different management style.
Yeah, okay. But the management style is not a democratic enterprise. It will never work that a leader asks his or her people and say, hey, what do you want? You want this kind of style, that kind of style? Okay, and I act accordingly. This is not how it works. Leadership means that you yourself, you reflect on a situation and you also reflect on your personality and what you could be. And then you come up with your leadership idea. It's not a democratic enterprise. And in the end, you always, or not always, but very often you have people who will not be capable of following your leadership style. This idea with being a coach is not being cozy and nice. Coach is very tough. It's the toughest role, I would say, because you really demand thinking and responsibility from the people.
Wow.
And the saying in some communities that people want to have coaches. No, I don't see that, because it's very, very tough.
And it's all about the boundaries. I think situation that you gave about the coach talking to an employee, is also, you know, just you don't want to take responsibility, but you're pushed to take responsibility and to make decision.
Yeah.
It's the same as you described with the boss. You're saying that so many people are used to bosses, and they are used to being told. But in many cases, it's not used to being told, but being not willing to make decision or take responsibility and be looking forward for someone to make your life easier.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's very also important to mention what you said on stage, that this communicating and acting upon what you communicate is a part of building trust.
Absolutely.
And that's the foundation for yeah. successful yeah. Management and teamwork.
Yeah.
Would you maybe elaborate on what additional things are needed in that context?
Well, since we are on an HR conference, when companies think of cognizant leadership, they accept that different leaders have different leadership ideas. Because I see in HR very often this tendency or this wish to have a common leadership idea in an organization. I would say, no, that's not good. You have different contexts within this, under the same umbrella of one organization. So let's rather have something that I would call diversity of leadership. We have different personalities, different contexts. So let these leaders lead differently, which is absolutely fine. So when you think in that direction, which is very fascinating, by the way, then you also must, as HR, you must relaunch or change your leadership processes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, performance evaluation. Performance evaluation is a good example of something that works pretty well with the boss and works not at all with the coach. That's something that we know since 60 years, since Douglas McGregor. Huh? Coaches don't judge.
Yeah.
So, okay, now I'm HR and say, well, you can define your leadership role. I say, okay, fine, I'm a coach. And the half year later, they expect you to judge your people. I say, no, that's not what I'm going to do because that does not fit to my role. Meaning, when you have this idea of leadership diversity, you must also accept that different leaders lead differently and require different tools.
Do you think it's possible?
Very hard to swallow.
Yeah.
It's very often not possible because you have one IT system, yeah, which is common for all. Okay, that's already an obstacle. Then you have interfaces into other areas of HR. Let's think of variable pay. Yeah. So variable pay requires performance evaluation. Mm. Okay, so what about that? But that's very difficult.
What's your prediction on how it's going to be?
I think that the future we're going to have much, much flexibility. We learn more and more, and that takes time. We learn every year more that this one-size-fits-all standard processes for everybody work for some purposes. Really, they do, but for many purposes, they do really harm. So really, I mean, when we think about performance appraisal, for instance, here, we more and more have companies that say, well, we have very, very flexible approaches where the employee and the manager, they jointly think about what they talk about, what they agree on, and so on.
Okay.
So very, very flexible systems.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah, okay. We need to think about it because that will take also, you know, just hell of an effort to change the organization and the system and the approaches.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yes.
Everything.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, we haven't discussed the last one. The last point that you've mentioned is reflect and act.
Yeah.
Accordingly.
Well, act, that's a part of the communication, be consistent, but also this reflect. As a leader, and I see it also with myself, you should never stop struggling with yourself, really. I mean, you experience situation every day and you think, okay, I tried to react like this, but was that the right way? Yeah. Is it still okay being primarily somebody who shares responsibility and you're never done? So leadership is a process of constant reflection, I would say.
Not an easy one.
Not an easy one. No.
So Armin, when is your book out in English?
Oh, next year.
Next year?
Yeah, it will take a while, yeah.
Okay, so we'll be waiting for that.
Yeah.
You're talking about many topics in HR management in general, mm-hmm. and you have covered a lot of very important aspects throughout your career. Is there anything else that you're working at the moment? Any topic or any... we talked today about the cognizant leadership, but Is there any new topic that you're uncovering for yourself and you're really curious about?
There are many, but I think there is one topic that is very hot in HR where we have to be very, very careful. We talk too much about well-being, about making it nice and cozy for every employee. It's a very, I would say, maternalistic, I don't know whether we can say it like this, way of management. I would say this is not very grown up, and I worry a little bit about this. Yeah. Be in HR, we should never see the employees as the consumer or the customer, which we have to make happy. Never. I would rather prefer an HR that sees employees as players who have responsibility. And in my eyes, what I see, given the post-COVID situation, the talent shortage and some cultural changes in societies, I see a tendency towards making working life as nice and cozy as possible so that the little employee babies are happy and stay and satisfied. And that's something that bothers me a little bit. I know I sound a little bit like a conservative old white man. I don't care. That worries me really. I think that's the wrong direction.
What risks do you see in that?
I see the risk that people stop taking responsibility for things and then stop growing and always ask for the company to deliver benefits and things and whatever. Yeah, that's not how it works. Yeah, because once you start taking responsibility for things, you grow. Yeah. I worked for many years in a company where the CEO always said, I never want to have satisfied employees, never. I want unsatisfied employees who at the same time see the chance to change things. And that's powerful.
You know? It is. And it's a very good idea to finish our conversation because that's probably something that we all need to take away and think a bit to reflect on where we are now.
Yeah.
What's the balance between responsibility and willingness to take everything, what is there.
Yeah.
So it's a good one. Thank you very much for this conversation.
Thank you. Jūs klausite podcasto Žmogiškiai iššūkiai. Kad nepraleistumėte naujų epizodų, kviečiame prenumeruoti laidos naujienlaiškį adresu žmogiškiai.lt. Podcastą prenumeruoti taip pat galite per Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, Stitcher ir kitose platformose. Laidos partneris Audioteka Verslui. Nuolatinio tobulėjimo kultūra jūsų organizacijoje. www.audiotekaverslui.lt